If it wasn't the equipment as well, then we would have never moved from woods to titanium and irons, right, in golf. I mean, think of it that way. Because if it was truly just the players, we'd still be hitting woods, you know, and I think that's the same thing for our paddles. And I'll challenge any person that says it's not the paddle to go pick up a wood paddle and see if you can compete with it.
Hi, I'm Crystal Brown, and we have the pleasure of sitting down with Chris Dickert. He's the CEO and founder of Legacy Pickleball. He's an engineer, designer, builder, and more importantly, a family man. Would you believe that it only took him 2 weeks to design his first paddle? He has his eyes set on being one of the top paddle companies in the world. So listen in to hear how it all started with just a promise to his daughter and about three new paddles coming out in October and what we should expect in the years to come. All right, now to the show. Welcome to Simply Pickleball, the podcast where we discuss all things pickleball, the fastest growing sport in America and around the world. We are interviewing the founders, industry leaders, athletes, lovers of the sport that are driving the spectacular growth. If you love pickleball as much as we do, listen in. So Chris, finally we get to sit down. I'm super excited to talk to you about all things pickleball, in particular Legacy and Legacy Pro. And I just really appreciate your time and I'm excited to learn more about your brand and about your story. So maybe we can start there with, have you been an athlete your whole life? Like, what's the backstory before you got into pickleball?
Yeah, I have. I've always been competitive. I think I was born that way. My whole entire family is that way. And so growing up, I played every sport. I was a big baseball player all the way through. I was a junior Olympic swimmer. Just always, you know, played at a high level all the way up. And found pickleball about maybe 3.5 years ago. My son was playing at school, and I was taking my daughter down to the YMCA here in town in Montgomery, Alabama, and we were going down every Saturday at 6 a.m. to shoot basketball and get her ready for her season because she's as competitive as I am. These older athletes were coming in and running us out of the gym. And one time my son was with us and he said, "Dad, can I hang around and play?" And I'm like, do you know how to play? And he's like, "Yeah, I know how to play." I'm like, "All right." So he jumped out there and my daughter and I watched him. And then we came back the next week and he went out there and played again. And the third week, they finally invited me out to play. There was a three that needed one. And an older gentleman, he was, I think, 82 at the time. He invited me to come out and play. You know, they were telling me the rules. I ran up to the kitchen real quick, and he hit me square in the chest with a ball. And I remember saying, "Can you do that?" And he was like, "Heck yeah, you can." And I was like, "Okay, I'm in. You know, I'm sold." So I've been playing pickleball ever since. So he hooked me.
So it was thanks to your son, you started to play. And so you hadn't heard of it before your son introduced you.
No, I'd never heard of it at all. But, you know, being a baseball player, I saw that it was a wiffle ball. And so I was paying attention to it, even though it was, you know, generally an older crowd that was playing at the time. And it's interesting, since then, the crowd has just completely changed. I mean, every generation is out there now. Even my little 5-year-old's out there playing with them. So it's grown in its entirety. It's amazing.
Absolutely. So you were a baseball player growing up. So you and you were very competitive. And then you decided to go pro at some point. So what happened? What was the difference between playing with the three seniors and going to pro?
Well, you know, I was testing the waters at pro over in Atlanta at the Atlanta Open, PPA Atlanta Open. I guess it was last year around April, and I remember, you know, I was out on the court getting my butt whipped, and I look over and my little girl's hanging out with Lucy Kovalova and Callie Jo Smith, and she's following Anna Lee around, and you know, it was just a fun atmosphere to be in. And I remember Ellie just loving it. Everywhere I went, she was just eating it up, and it was almost more fun for me to watch her interact with everyone than to even experience playing pro for the first time. And so I'm an old man. I'm 47, so I've been waiting and waiting to try to get to the senior pro level. So I decided, you know, I'll jump in and get my head bashed and see how it goes. And it was fun. It was a great experience. Had a blast. And, you know, Legacy kind of started that day.
Yeah. So tell me, so you know, I'm really interested in the paddle
industry. There's a lot of new paddles, but you've been at this for a little while. So how did you think all of a sudden that, you know, the market needed a paddle, and why did you want to?
Well, I tell you, I had zero interest in being in the paddle market at all. You know, I was just interested in playing. It was something that we did as a family, and my kids enjoyed it. All three of my kids are super good athletes. I have one that has kind of been slowly progressing into the game of pickleball. And I've been waiting for her to play because she's old enough. She could be my mixed partner. And so she's so good, but she's now creeping into it and starting to enjoy it. So my youngest one, she was 4 at the time. And I talked with a couple of companies and they approached me about maybe building a paddle around her, you know, and branding her as like the next Annalee Waters, you know, at her age. And I thought it was amazing, you know, amazing opportunity. And so we began those talks and I started researching, you know, the paddle industry and the manufacturing that side and as we were going through it. And towards the end of it, it just felt like it was kind of getting away from what we envisioned, you know, for her and the juniors. And at that time, I had already talked to Ellie and said, hey, do you think it would be neat if we had a paddle and had your name on it or, you know, it, and you had your own signature paddle? And she just ate it up. I mean, I can remember when she was just tiny, one really. I mean, right when she was beginning to walk, I got her a little Selkirk novelty paddle. And I've got cute videos of her just running around on Christmas Day, hitting the little bitty tiny wiffle ball and just jumping and all the joy she had. I mean, she just loved it. So she's been playing ever since she was, I mean, really started walking. And I mean, at least hitting the ball and having a paddle in her hand. So she's been doing it forever. And I didn't want to disappoint her. I had to make a decision as to, do I disappoint her and say, sweetheart, we're just not going to do it, or do I just do it myself? And so I decided I can't disappoint her. So, you know, I jumped in it.
Were you focusing more than on the youth paddle market, or when you started, you know, what, again, like you're all of a sudden you say, you know, I'm not going to disappoint my daughter. I want to make good on my promise. But then what do you do next? How do you get started?
Yeah. So I knew, you know, I was playing with another paddle sponsor, and I knew that once I started the works of the junior paddle or youth paddle, that I would more than likely, it would end my contract with them. And so, I thought, well, I've got to have a paddle, right? I might as well get to work on, at the same time, building a paddle that I like, because the paddles that I was playing with at the time, they weren't the best in the industry. They were close to being the best in the industry, and the technology just wasn't there. And so I've kind of got a knack for that. I mean, I remember when I was young, I remember my parents buying me, I'm about to date myself in age, but I remember them buying me the very first Atari. And I remember being like 5 years old and my parents coming home and I had the whole thing broken apart. And my parents, like, they lost their mind. They're like, oh my God, you know, we just spent all this money on an Atari. And I put it back together. I just wanted to see what was in it. And so I put it back together and, you know, it worked fine. So I've always had that kind of, I think, engineering mind. And so I took the 6 best paddles on the market that I thought were out there, and I tore them apart and reverse engineered them. And I just kept what I liked about them, and what I didn't like, I fixed. And I tried to make this Frankenstein paddle, if you will. And I knew that there were some issues with the paddle designs. And so I started researching other industries like Padel and others, and started migrating some of that technology and those ideas into our paddle. And the rest is history. You know, I was kind of doing it at the same time as the youth paddle. So it kind of worked hand in hand. You know, I wanted the design of both paddles to be very similar. They're both unibodies. I didn't want them to break at the handle as much, you know, so those things I really focused heavily on. And I didn't want to reinvent the wheel. You know, I just wanted to build on what was already good in the market and try to make it better. And so, you know, that's kind of our thing. We've always tried to push the market a little bit, you know.
I mean, had you run a business like this before, you know, where you were designing and building a product and then having to push it to market?
Yeah, well, I've owned a construction company for probably 20 years. And so I've built houses and you know, I've always enjoyed taking something and building something and making it unique for people. And I always built custom homes. I didn't go and build a home and then sell it, you know, so it was always unique. So I think I've had that background, even though it was a separate industry. I've always had the construction and development part of it. I'm very good at that part. I'm terrible at coming up with names and color schemes and stuff like that. You know, I didn't get a whole lot of the artistic ability, but and you could probably tell that from our very first paddle. It's black and white. you know, I just wanted something simple.
Yeah, I like your branding a lot. So you decided to develop this paddle, and how long did that take you till you got the first paddle kind of out there?
2 weeks. It took me 2 weeks to break down 6 paddles, figure out what I liked about them, and construct in my backyard one paddle that I thought I could make more of. And that came quick. That was easy. You know, picking out the name of Legacy, that was easy. You know, those things came really easy. Pushing it to market, that wasn't that difficult. You know, I mean, at the time, I tried to do it more like I was used to, you know, build it based on word of mouth and amongst my friends, and start with the community close at home and start with the state of Alabama, and then kind of work my way out. And I knew that I wanted to kind of do a grassroots campaign. You know, it was more about family and leaving something behind for my kids. And that's why I named it Legacy. You know, it all fit. And it was never something that wanted to jump into and become the next Selkirk, you know. But now that seems like, you know, we're heading in the right direction. And now that seems that we can reach that path, you know, we can get there. A ton of great companies out there have laid the pavement for us. And like I said, we're not trying to reinvent anything. We're just trying to take it and make it better.
So can you share a little bit about that without sharing trade secrets? You know, what are the things that you think, you know, there's a lot of new players out there, and they're, you know, once they play and they figure, like, doesn't matter, I'm just going to figure it out, they immediately want to know what paddle it should be playing with, and whether it matters which type they pick. And so what did you think that, you know, what are the things that from a construction standpoint that make a really good paddle?
There's separate markets in the marketplace, right? There's say there's 30 million people playing pickleball now. A very small percentage of them are tournament players, like, that we know. You know, I mean, we might be tournament players and we know a ton of tournament players, but in the grand scheme of things, it's a very small percentage. And even smaller percentage are the pros. I knew that designing our paddle wasn't necessarily pushing it towards one area or the other. I wanted to make a paddle that was affordable, that we could sell to the pros, that we could sell to amateur players, that we could sell to rec players. Because, you know, if there's 30 million rec players out there, or 30 million players out there, probably 29,950,000, you know, are rec players. And so the quality was a big thing. I think when someone picks up the paddle, when they hit the ball, they want to feel like the ball has a sweet spot to it and a big one. Mm-hmm. And so making it real solid all throughout the face, I think that's very important when companies are trying to build a paddle. Something that doesn't break easily. You know, paddles are not made with superior products and materials, you know, right now, because the rules, the way they are, they have to be, they can only have so much deflection in them and things like that. So, you know, they're made with inexpensive plastics and things like that. And so you try to make something last as long as possible and perform at a high level for every level of the game. And whether it's a rec player, and so I've always taken the approach, but, and I kind of got this from coaching, I think, if a kid is having some success, they'll end up having fun. But you take that same child and put them in a batting cage and throw 10 balls at them, and they miss every one of them, they're not going to go home and say, "Mom, I enjoyed playing baseball today." And they might not come back. And so I think that goes for adults as well. You know, the beauty about pickleball is it's very easy to pick up as an adult. You don't have to be very athletic. It's very hard to master, but it's very easy to pick up. And so you want to make a product that, you know, kind of blankets that entire spectrum of athletes from the beginner to the pro. And I felt like if we made a really good paddle, the pros and the amateur and tour players, they would gravitate towards it. right? And so I didn't feel like we needed to necessarily go after them. You know, just make a good product, they'll gravitate towards it. But the amateur players that are rec players, they don't know who the number one player in the world is. You walk in any YMCA in the world and ask a random player, hey, who's the best pickleball player in the world? They'll be like, Jason. You know, you're like, who's Jason? He's that guy over there. You know, he's the best one around here, you know. And so we're still there. And so it was important to, try to make something that I think caught everyone's eye and performed at a high, at least when they hit it, they felt like it was performing well. And then the rest, kind of built off of that.
I want to get into youth in a minute, but before that, I'm curious about what you were talking about, because I think it's a new industry, and someone might, if they played tennis or golf, they might go through a few different rackets or a few different clubs, but eventually they kind of settle in, and maybe for 10 years they play with the same, so they can invest in it. And with pickleball, I feel like what I'm seeing anyways, people are kind of hustling through paddles. They're not sure. They don't know about grip size. They don't know about carbon surface. They don't know in particular even how long a paddle should last. And so I'm curious, when you were deconstructing these, did you have that in mind, which is like, hey, right now we're going to just move through these pretty fast?
Well, I think, the reason that the way it is right now on pickleball is because of the essence of the game. It brings in every type of player, from the players that have never played a sport. They might be 55 years old, but they never played a sport, to the players that played tennis growing up. The one thing about tennis and golf, you're so right. I mean, if you ask a golfer, they've been playing with TaylorMades for 20 years or Ping for 20 years. And I think it's because they've been playing for so long, right? They settled in on a product that they felt comfortable with, that had a very good name, a quality to it, an allure to it. And so our game is so new in its infancy at popularity, even though it's been around since the 60s, that we're still at the beginning stages of who those companies are, and I know we've got some companies out there that have been around for a while, but I think that those titles are still up for grab. I mean, you've got people who are loyal to certain companies and all, but right now I think every company is still trying to etch out that piece of the puzzle for longevity. Some companies are not in it for longevity. Some are in it for right now and what they can make, and then they move on, or they build it to get bought out, and it is what it is. I mean, we've seen that in the tour wars right now that's going on. I mean, there's just so many things that are fluid. 2 weeks ago, it didn't seem like we were here, and now we're here, and it's like, man, so every day things are changing. And so you kind of have to navigate these shark infested waters and do something and stay on task. And so for us, when I built the paddle, I never thought much about that part. It was always, what can I do to make something better so that there's a better available product out there that I would play with for myself? Because I'm a player. I try to play at a high level. I've still got a ton of room to go. And I didn't want to get beat by a better paddle because I had an inferior paddle in my hand. And so selfishly, I tried to make myself happy. And I'm such a competitive person, and I'm tough on myself when it comes to sports, that if I could make myself happy, I felt like I could make a lot of people happy when it came to a paddle that fit their needs.
Well, I think that's the entrepreneur's experience usually, is that they feel like they could do something better than someone else has done before. And so that's why you put everything on the line. So has this company, taken time from other things for you? Is it a full-time job? Is it exhausting?
The construction kind of went to the side. Construction is now pickleball. It's full-time. And it's been that way almost all year. The first 4 months of the year, we were back ordered. I mean, it was crazy. But it's definitely full-time. And it's amazing, because now it was something that was a hobby that is now a job that doesn't feel like a job. Most people, that's what you strive for, is to find something you truly enjoy and love, be able to use that as a career. And so it's been a blessing. I mean, you know, I mean, every day I wake up and I have to pinch myself because it's like, wow, you know, I can't believe that, you know, you see people out there enjoying the paddle. You know, and I mean, we're right at a year of being approved at the end of September. And so we're still green.
You got your paddle and then you submit it to the USPA and they, what do they do from there?
They go through a rigorous test and measure it on different performance areas. And if it passes everything, then you get approved to play in sanctioned tournaments. You don't necessarily have to go that route to get a paddle into the market. If you want the paddle to be used by amateur tournament players or by professionals, then that's the route to go. I would suggest people try to do that anyway, because it helps our game. The USA Pickleball has been around for a long time and they've got measurements in place for a reason. And you always want to make sure that your product is playing within the same parameters. Even the paddles that we might design in the future that maybe are geared more towards a rec player and not a tournament player, we'll still push it before USA Pickleball just so we feel comfortable about the accountability of the way it plays and all.
That's really interesting. And I'm glad you brought up the sort of turf wars with PPA and Duper, et cetera. But I think it's actually good for the game. I'm in San Francisco and I brought this up on another episode around search engines. I was here when there were, you know, Yahoo and InfoSeek, and then all of a sudden Google comes in, and I think it's okay. I think we level up every time people are trying to do better, but it's also a little bit confusing. And so I think, and again, like back to choosing a paddle for anyone, it is a little confusing because, you know, they don't know what to look for and they don't know, again, like maybe are paddles supposed to last for 6 months? Are they like running shoes? You can't wear running shoes forever. So it's okay. Like you know, what's the mentality that these purchasers should have?
It's interesting to say that because I say that all the time. I use that exact sentence. A paddle is just like your shoes. You know, if you use the same pair of shoes every day and you go play 3 hours in them, or you go run 3 hours a day, you're going to wear them out in a month. I mean, you'll wear holes in the soles and things like that. If you only wear them once a week, they'll last for a long time. It's the same way with a paddle. I was replacing a paddle every quarter. Once a quarter, I was replacing a paddle for myself. And I just wanted to make sure the paddle was performing at the highest it could perform. And that was before, you know, we started Legacy. And so I feel like along the way, some people have gotten this image that it's supposed to last a year, it's supposed to last 3 years. There's not many products out there that are built with these type materials that are going to last that long, right? And I think that's the caveat, is the type of materials that they're made with. If we could make paddles out of things that tennis rackets are made out of, then they'll last a lot longer. If we could make them out of iron, like irons for golf, they'll last a lot longer. You know, I mean, so you kind of have, as a consumer, I think we have to educate ourselves a little bit on what are we actually buying, right? We're not buying a golf club, right? You know, not buying a piece of steel that lasts a long, long time. You know, you're buying something that's got polypropylene plastic in it, you know, and it's got glue all in it. And if you leave it outside in the 100 degrees in California or Alabama, or 20 degrees in Minnesota, it's going to start to break down. I think probably a paddle should last at least a quarter. You know, that would be on average, I think. I'd like to see them last a lot longer, but it's indicative of what they're made out of and who's using it. You know, I've actually taken a paddle and gone and played one game, and I hit the ground and scrubbed it up so bad it broke. I mean, so it's like, you know, I mean, it, you know, that's just part of the game. You know, it depends on how you're using it and what happens when it's in your hand.
That's right. I have seen a few players that kind of are smacking the court a little bit too much and have to replace their paddles.
Or if you got one player that you're playing with and they're just really excited when they hit a shot and you stick out your paddle, knock it out of your hand, and you're like, oh no.
That's a good point. So what about kids? You know, I imagine, and as stakes get higher for pros, some of the pros are young, and then there's going to be collegiate. We have another episode just all about collegiate pickleball, and that's going to lead into high school and then youth. You know, your daughter's way younger than that. And what are you seeing? Like, what have you seen this market grow, and are they buying a lot of paddles? And
yeah, I think that that's the wave of the future for legacy. That's a big focus of ours is, you know, I mean, I've always tried to think of our company in the long term. You know, our game has a tremendous amount of older baby boomers playing, and baby boomers won't be with us forever. And after the baby boomers move on, then if you're not bringing in the younger crowd, you know, you're going to miss the entire industry. And so it's with everything. I mean, you want to have multi-generational relationships, and the days of, you know, sending your little one out there to get tennis lessons and then they'll migrate over to pickleball later, you know, after they finish their tennis career, that's over with. You know, I'm not a tennis fan. You know, I was a baseball player. So I my little one's going to play pickleball if she wants. And so, and she's going to know from knee high how to play, and she's going to have the opportunity because Legacy and hopefully other companies will be out there in the marketplace, you know, at the elementary schools, donating paddles and setting up clinics and helping those kids stay healthy and keeping their mindset right. Because the beauty about our sport is I think that it's unique in the fact that my little one can go play with 75-year-old, her grandfather, and they can build a bond like no other sport. I mean, I remember going out and throwing ball with my grandfather, but we didn't really chat. We were 30 yards away from each other throwing ball, right? But my little one can go out there and spend 3 hours with my dad or my mom or you know, other players of that age group, just grow so much emotionally and mentally and learn from them. It's unique. And I think that we have to foster that in the schools and in the community and put on clinics. And so Legacy is all about the collegiate level. We've moved into that very hard, very fast. You know, I mean, right now we're working on setting up a bunch of different collegiate programs. We're working with a lot of universities across the nation to help facilitate setting up clubs for them so that they can go and play in the Duper series and things like that. You know, we're working on sponsoring a lot of them, supporting them there on campuses, you know, showing them the model of what we did at other campuses and helping them get through the sticky tape to get a club going. And it's just like hockey and some of the other sports. You know, the bigger the club scene grows at the collegiate level, then the NCAA at some point will pick it up. And if we want to be an Olympic sport, then we have to have it in college. And so that's by nature where we're headed. And it's coming like yesterday.
I know, it is moving so fast. So we talked to someone about this, and he said that, again, in one of our other episodes, and he felt that maybe the NCAA shouldn't oversee collegiate pickleball, that maybe it should be a sport a little bit more like hockey or some of the other ones that don't get have to compete for the NCAA's time and energy. But then again, that could be limiting. So I'm curious what your thoughts are. And I know this is not your business per se of building pickleball, but I'm curious just your thoughts.
I think the NCAA has had a longevity in that environment, and they've seen sports come and go. And I think the idea early would be to push it to keep it at a club level as long as possible until it's throughout the entire U.S. And the one thing about hockey is it's played heavily up north, maybe not heavily down south. And so some of those things like rugby and things or lacrosse are very regionalized. Pickleball is not that way. And so I think that nature will take its course. And once it's spread out throughout the U.S., the NCAA is all about making money, right? They're in the game of making money. And let's be honest, pickleball is at the entertainment phase right now. And that's why some people are upset about the turf wars. I'm the same as you. I mean, I think that what's happening is those tours are looking at how can they put a product out there that's entertaining enough so that the rest of the United States buys into pickleball and wants to see it on TV. And we're at that stage, and college is the same way. So we've got two battles to take care of. And, you know, they're two separate entities, but being a player that played all the way up and is all about college sports, I think NCAA is the way to go eventually. Once it's, you know, in every region, you know, right now, not so much. And the NCAA doesn't want any part of it right now. I mean, we're still in the baby steps.
So is Legacy, I mean, how many people are you that's running around kind of getting involved in so much? Because it's, I know it's hard to run a business. I've run a business before. And
yeah, we've got a staff of probably 10 to 12 people, you know, and we have a tremendous ambassador program. And we're working with several influential business people throughout the U.S. and abroad that aren't necessarily ambassadors, but they're friends of the company and they just want to see us succeed. And they're leaning on their experience to help us and guide us. And we're very much appreciative of all that. You know, I think with my college contacts and things like that, I mean, that, you know, we're trying to use every person in our organization's strengths to further, you know, our company and to push pickleball. You know, we want to see the community just grow. And it's not all about our legacy. It's all about making the sport accessible for everyone and making it affordable, because pickleball will take care of itself. You know, it's an amazing sport. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily need these superstar companies out there doing all these things. And we just have to facilitate it so that people can play the game and do it at an affordable rate.
Well, so how have sales been? I mean, can you keep them on the shelf, so to speak?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think after the first 4 months, it was, I learned a lesson. And so I just decided to we're constantly reinvesting in our company. And so when we even remotely get close to being out of stock, you know, we're already having our inventory reset. And so I learned a lot about the way of manufacturing in China and all the holidays they have and when they are specifically. And so I've gotten ahead of that. Our inventory is fine and we're going to be fine. Our sales have been amazing and it's been a blessing. I mean, we've been very steady and consistently on the uptick. Things haven't slowed down at all.
Where are most of your sales coming from? Would you say is from your ambassador program, or is it coming from just your website? Do you sell in stores?
I think majority of our sales are coming through our website. Most of it, I think, is word of mouth. Now that we have a tremendous amount of ambassadors out there with the paddles in their hands, and our product is getting out there, you know, we're having repeat customers. Customers are telling their friends and things like that. And I think it's just growing from a grassroots campaign. We've got a lot of wholesalers out there on the retail, and we're growing with that every day. I mean, we've sold paddles in 54 countries now. And so it's amazing. I mean, we are getting ready to move into India. We are growing at an astronomical rate. I think if you'd have told me a year ago that we would be where we're at today, I would have bet my house that you're crazy. And so it's been a true overnight success. It really has. And it's been a blessing. And it could all end tomorrow, you know. And if it does, it's been one heck of a ride. You know, it's been amazing. But I feel like, you know, we've got our foundation set now. We're heading in the right direction. I mean, it's amazing.
So I just learned recently how many countries it's being played in and that it's starting to take off more in other Asian countries and European countries, et cetera. Are they playing it like we are here? Is it just getting started? I don't know. I'm just curious what you know.
Yeah, there's some countries that are playing it heavily. They're not, I think, as organized as far as, you know, an association, a pickleball association and things like that. But I mean, I know Mexico, Canada is growing astronomical up there. I mean, they've got their own pro league now, Canadian National Pro League. Europe is taking off. I mean, it's Australia. There are countries that I've never even heard of people buying paddles. And it's like, wow, I had no idea. I mean, the Philippines is getting big. I mean, it's just growing at a recreational level very quickly. I mean, even China now. I mean, China's really getting into it. I mean, and as soon as they get into it, it's India. I mean, you're talking about two of the largest in the world. I mean, it's unorganized at a grand scale abroad for the most part. So a lot of room for growth and stability there, you know, and I think they're leaning on the U.S.'s last 3 or 4 years and how we got going abroad. to go abroad and make it stronger.
Do you think that there'll be a lot of consolidation with paddles? Do you think there's going to be some, you know, there's in I don't like to use tennis as the only basis because I know they're similar, but there's a lot of other paddle sports out there and there's a lot of other sports out there. But eventually in any business, you start to see some consolidation and maybe some big companies. And do you think you'll see that with the paddles?
I think we already are. We've been offered 3 or 4 times to be bought out. You know, I think that that's the nature of any industry. It's such a growth phase that you're seeing just everyone jumping in. And I think within 2 years, you'll start to see it consolidate a lot more. You know, right now, it's this kind of free-for-all, you know. And so, but, you know, I think that is good, though. I think that that pushes the boundaries of technology, pushes the boundaries of customer service. It makes us all strive to do better, because we're all fighting for the top spots. And in order to have some longevity, you have to have your feet planted in the right way. You know, you can't just be fly by night. You can't come in, hit the lick and last forever. I mean, you've got to set up some foundations. And I think for us, that's why we were so huge on our ambassador program and getting in the schools and really staying on focus of what we're in the game for, because, you know, there's a huge pie out there and there's enough room for everyone. But I think that the ones that want to be very successful, you'll see a lot of consolidation in that market before too long.
How does your ambassador program work? What do they do?
Yeah. I mean, they're essentially a brand ambassador for us. They're an extension of our family. And so they're out there playing, representing us. They can take part in the sales program or not. You know, our ambassador program ranges from a 1.0 to a pro. I mean, we take pretty much every level of player if they fit our mold. And our mold is really our vision and values that we have on our website. I mean, if they believe in what we believe in and they want to see the game fostered in that way, then we want them on our team. We want them out there, you know, educating the public on the mental health benefits of playing pickleball and sharing those stories in their community with us. And so we can put it on social media and do things like that. And so it is a huge network of amazing people is what it is. And I don't know where we'd be without them. You know, it's, I go to tournaments all the time and I'm like, you know, it's amazing. You know, it's just amazing at that network of people can do if pointed in the right direction, you know. And for us, we want to make sure that we're giving more to them than they're giving to us. And we want to get them to wherever they want to be, whether it's a trained, you know, professional, or if they want to just be the best 3-0 at their rec, you know. I mean, we want to help facilitate whatever their interest is.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really nice to have company values that people tie into, and they, in general, I remember there's an article recently that said, "Can pickleball save America?" And in some ways, whether it's America or beyond our borders, this element of community and being connected, and you're talking about a couple different levels, right? You're actually allowing people to connect into your mission as a company, in addition to being connected on the pickleball court. And I do think that may be why it's taken off like fire, because I just don't think there's been something that everyone's been as excited about that has a positive impact versus people get really excited about blood and guts, but that's not really positive for the,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's, if you believe in what you're out there promoting, it makes a big difference. And you can't ask somebody to be out there promoting your brand or the sport if they don't truly enjoy it and know why. And so it makes the most sense that our paddle's not for everybody. Our vision and values might not be for everybody. But, you know, we feel like our goal is always to make the community of pickleball better. And it's never really been about us, per se. And so I think that's why a lot of people do gravitate towards us, fortunately. And we're blessed in that respect. And so Bill Gates said something one time that he doesn't hire anyone that's dumber than him. And so that always took me back, because I'm like, man, where do you find people smarter than you? You know? And so I took that to heart, and it kind of changed it a little bit. And we don't necessarily want anybody associated with us that's not more passionate than me. You know, that, you know, you want people more passionate than you are and continue to grow it. And so I'd like to be the worst player in our room, and the least passionate about it in the room. That'd be amazing, you know, because then I know that I can go step away, and it's going to run, you know, it's going to continue to succeed.
Well, so what are the near-term milestones for you guys? Do you sponsor pros? Are you putting out new paddles soon?
Yeah, we've got 3 paddles that are coming out. We're setting it for October 1st. We're excited about that.
Can you share
about
what they're like?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Our 14-millimeter Legacy Pro is coming out. Kind of stayed away from that for a while because the Legacy Pro hits so hard that it's one of the most powerful paddles, I think, on the market right now. The 14 millimeter is going to be, in my opinion, the hardest hitting paddle out there. And so if there's people out there that really like the Masher Ball, that's the paddle for them.
Just so for people that aren't as experienced as you, if the thicker the paddle, or when you're making it a little bit thinner, mm-hmm. it's going to have a lot more power, you're saying?
Yeah, so normally a thinner paddle is faster in your hands, and it can be more powerful because of the swing weight and the velocity that you're able to swing it. For a 16 millimeter, it hits very hard, you know, for a thick paddle. And we wanted it that way. We didn't want a marshmallow in our hands. There's a lot of marshmallows out there, and we didn't want to be like that. And so a 14 millimeter is tightening it down. And it's more compressed, so it'll promote more power. And so we're excited about that. We listened to our fans. A lot of people wanted a 5.5-inch handle, so we extended that handle just a little bit. And so that's something new for the 14-millimeter Legacy Pro. And then we've got a hybrid version of the Legacy Pro that's coming out as well. And for those people that like a different shape, there's a ton of players out there that like that shape, that hybrid shape. And so that's going to be interesting for us because it's not our normal design, our look. And so, but it will be our makeup. And so to combine that hybrid and our makeup, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be one of the most popular paddles out there.
Can you describe, or do you have anything that you can show what a hybrid is versus the traditional?
Yeah. So I don't have it with me, but this is more like a standard. This is Ellie's paddle. I don't know if you can see it, but it's more of a standard shape, right? It's a short square. And then this is more of an elongated. You can kind of see it. It's a little more elongated and skinnier and longer. A hybrid's going to come here, and then it's going to kind of round in, you know, it's going to be more round instead of more square and boxy. It'll be more round. And so there's several reasons why I didn't build the hybrid initially. And it made more sense that when you start to build a round edge, it starts cutting into those octagonal polypropylene honeycomb cells. And so all of a sudden you're losing compression in that area. And so I wanted something that lost, you know, I didn't want compression to be lost. So I wanted to minimize that. And so right now, and that's why we kind of designed it where it just rounds here, and then it squares off, you know. And so it's got a tremendous sweet spot here, and you don't lose anything up here. And if you're hitting in these corners, you know, you're starting to lose some energy when the ball hits. With a hybrid, you have a tendency to lose some in that rounded area because it's cut soft. It's like a cup. You cut a cup in half and it's got water, that water is going to seep out, right? And so in order to facilitate a better bond, the thermoform is going to help a lot. And I think thermoform is the answer for that. And initially, I wasn't sold on it. And so I've tested it and I really like the hybrid as well. I mean, because of the thermoform, and the seal around the paddle, it makes it really solid as well. And so you don't feel that like a Hyperion for Yola that doesn't have the, you know, I think it's the Swift version that doesn't have the thermoform. You can kind of feel that compression being lost when the ball hits. And I didn't want that. And so, we've moved on to that hybrid. I think it's going to be very popular. If I can come up with a good name, that's been my struggle with that one. So if you have any good names, please let me know.
Yeah, everyone. If you say that during this podcast, I'm sure you're going to get lots of comments about.
Oh, please, writing. Please. I mean, I can build paddles. I can't name names. It's like it's things. But we've got a 14 millimeter Legacy Velocity coming out. It's going to be a different kind of paddle. It's going to be more geared towards people that want less poppiness, less power. It's not going to be thermoformed. It'll be a unibody, so it'll be made out of all one piece. It'll have a different coating on it that hadn't been seen in the market yet, I believe. And so it'll be a raw carbon fiber, but it'll have a coating on it that doesn't scratch, per se. And so it's going to spin the ball tremendously, but it's a paddle that makes some noise with it because the price is just going to be amazing. We're going to give that paddle away almost. And I just think that people are going to really enjoy that. And it's going to be a paddle that we really make a big move into the rec industry and move into big retails with it.
That's a lot. Three new paddles this fall. That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, in our industry, if you're not being innovative or continuing to push, it's you can get passed by. And so we have no intention of getting passed by. We're going to continue to grow and keep our focus on what we're good at. And so that's exciting. Those paddles are going to be fun. The Legacy Pro is still... I mean, we still have people everywhere that haven't heard of the Legacy Pro, so we've still got a long ways to go to get that thing all the way in the market, but we're having fun with it.
Well, hopefully we can help a little bit, and we'll put everything in the show notes, too, of course, about it. I'm just curious, is your daughter proud of you? Is your family supportive? Are they kind of like, Dad, you're spending so much time working? Or are they like, Dad, this is awesome,
Yeah, it's been, to be honest, I think it's gone in waves. Early on, pickleball was maybe a sore subject because it was taking a little focus of Dad's because I was doing it as a hobby. And, my kids are so athletic. My family's so athletic that everyone's going in every different direction. And Dad kind of got forgot about a little bit. And so you can't put the athlete down. And so I needed something for myself, especially during COVID, to keep myself mentally in check. And so that and pickleball fit that need for me. There's not many sports that you can play at my age and play at a high level and still push and compete and challenge yourself daily. And so early on, I would say that pickleball was kind of like, but now, with it becoming a full-time job and the growth of our company and what our company stands for, it's turned into fun. And I know that's the case because my middle child was all about never playing pickleball. And the other day she said, Dad, can I have a paddle? I want to go play with my friends. And I'm like, oh, what, pickleball paddle? And she's like, well, let me get my phone out and record you saying that. So, but now she plays and she told me the other day, she was like, the reason I didn't just jump out there and play is because you and Davis were so good. That's her older brother. Were so good. And it was intimidating. I didn't want to be bad at it to start. So she's been secretly playing so she can come and stalk me. And so, and she will. She's such a good athlete. I mean, her and my son they're going to pass me quickly. So
it's really fun. I mean, I feel like I play with all ages and I love that there are all ages playing, but I do find that no matter what age, everyone is constantly trying to get better and wants to get better. Even the rec players, they want to get better. And I think that's why the paddle market is so interesting too, which is, there's not that much to buy when it comes, you gotta kind of rely on yourself to improve the game, but fundamentally how a paddle feels in your hand. When we were talking to Spartus Paddles, he's a relatively new on the market. And he said, he'll be the first person to say that a paddle's not going to make you better, but the way you feel playing with it will make you feel better. And I think that's true. And I think that that's why there's room for different paddles, because they feel differently to different people.
I think I have a different opinion, maybe a little different take on that. I feel like it's both. I mean, it's very much the the equipment you have in your hand as well. I mean, I feel like there is a noticeable difference in some paddles than other paddles. And those, and I'll say this because I would have never designed that paddle if I didn't feel that way, because I could still play with the paddle I was playing with, but I was getting beat by paddles that could do things that mine couldn't. And I know that because I would give my paddle to my buddy and be like, hey, hit that back cut with this paddle and see if you can do that. And he couldn't do it. He'd spray it all over the place. And I'm like, you know, so I mean, there's very much an element of the paddle makes a difference. And I mean, you know, you've got to think of it like this, I think, and people have to think of it like this, is if it wasn't the equipment as well, then we would have never moved from woods to titanium and irons, you know, right, in golf. I mean, think of it that way, because if it was truly just the players, we'd still be hitting woods, right? And so, you know, and I think that's the same thing for our paddles. And I'll challenge any person that says it's not the paddle to go pick up a wood paddle and see if you can compete with it. Let me know if it's not. I mean, if you can play 5-0 with a wood paddle, man, your name is Ben Johns, is what your name is. So, you
know. That's very true. I mean, I think you're right. I guess I think 100% that that's what's exciting about the technology improving overall, which is because it's a relatively new sport, not completely, but you're seeing so much innovation. We want that. We want more innovation. I mean, again, like in San Francisco, you see innovation sometimes, and like we see self-driving cars all the time. There aren't that many places in the country that you see a car driving by itself, right? But you know that you get this little window into what the future holds. And I feel like that's kind of like with pickleball. I think we're just at that beginning where a few of us see how much there is to go and what's going to, you know, and like you were talking about college and youth, you know, it's going to be, I imagine, and again, I'm curious to your opinion, every high school is going to have a team and every college is going to have a team. You know, and for a lot of those kids, it'll be their path to part of their future, right? You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There will be scholarships for it. I mean, it's just headed that direction. I mean, and the thing is, it will never take away necessarily from tennis. It can go hand in hand with tennis. It's just truly a different sport. And so I think the people who grew up playing racquetball and those sports that started to die off see the differences in the way pickleball is trajectory is. And I think they're in this game with us. And I think there's so many of those people out there that played racquetball that saw it die off that are fighting real hard to keep pickleball from doing that.
You know, interesting. Cause I think about like, there's paddle tennis, there's squash, there's racquetball, badminton, you know, there's these racquet paddle sports that were out there. And I was curious, you're the first person to say that. I think that's really interesting that they sort of died off. And I wonder, I don't know why. I've never thought about that. I think it's absolutely the opposite of pickleball. And I guess it must be because it's much more approachable.
It's extremely approachable. It's easy to pick up and it's accessible. You can play on a tennis court. So the foundation is already there. You can go play on a tennis court. You know, you can go and tape off a tennis court, if you will. And so it's there and it's social. You know, some of these others aren't so social. You know, you get inside a racquetball. I played racquetball for the first time the other day and people were trying to talk to me and all I heard was pow, pow. I'm like, I'm trying to dodge a ball not hit me in the mouth. You know, it's like, you're not going to see a 70-year-old out there playing racquetball hardly. I mean, it's a different animal, you know, so pickleball, I think pickleball is just one of those unique sports. I mean, I've played every sport. It's just different. I mean, name another sport that you can take a 5-year-old and an 80-year-old, put them on a competitive field, and you don't know who's going to win.
And actually, even men and women, you know, there's very few sports. I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was like, you know, I would not go head to head with a 28-year-old man in any sport, but pickleball, I'll give it a shot. I still might not do that well, but you know. You know, and with swimming, you know, I was a swimmer also, and I've always thought it was a really inaccessible sport. If you live in an area without a pool, if inner city, your parents don't know how to swim, like it's not, there's not a lot of fairness there. So there's no way. But in pickleball, what I hope is that it is everywhere and that it is really fair.
It will be, because, you know, tennis is kind of like a country club sport. And the difference in pickleball is, you know, as long as we can keep the prices right, it will be affordable for everyone, you know. And that's the one thing that irritates me, I think, the most about some companies is that they're trying to drive the price up so high of paddles that you're pricing yourself out of the entire rec market. We can debate that type of marketing a lot, but I think that if you're a player of the game and you enjoy the game and you want to see the game succeed, you have to help keep those prices at a place that people can afford it.
Curious about that. I mean, can you have different levels? Like let's say you're Nike, you know, and I'm sure at some point they had to think, like, if we put out, you know, Air Jordans at whatever they are, and then is it a better theory to have like different levels, right? So you know you're going to have your pro level, but there's not very many people that are going to buy it, or do you sort of pick a segment?
Yeah, it's interesting the way Nike was, right, with Jordan. I mean, once the Jordans came out, I mean, Jordan, the market of prices just went. But then you had all these other Nikes that were all about the same prices. I mean, most of the cleats were all the same prices. Most of the basketball shoes were all the same prices until Jordan kind of blew that up. And so, you know, they're maybe an anomaly. But I think for the most part, you know, even Nike kept the prices at an affordable rate for a high quality product. And so, I mean, there's some companies out there that do a tremendous job at hitting, every level. You know, I think Selkirk does a good job of putting retail paddles out and having a high tier paddle as well, you know, and making it affordable. And I've been a fan of the way they do things for a long time, you know, as far as marketing things. I mean, they do a good job. And I think there's a lot of companies, our company included, that can learn from that and grow in the market. And so kudos to them and others that are doing stuff like that. You know, I mean, I remember when I first started, I'd see Selkirk paddles, you know, in the community. And it was like, man, you know, I think they've been in it a long time. They understand, you know. And so if you don't have that mentality, I think that you're probably going to be one of the companies that gets eat up or gets moved to the side, you know, because it's you're going to have to hit the entire marketplace or, you know, I mean, and I mean, you could be an Amazon company. I mean, there's plenty of those out there that do well, you know what I mean? But you've got to figure out what your niche is. And if your niche is trying to encompass the entire sport, you probably need to follow some paths that have already been laid, you know, like that.
Which sounds like what you guys are trying to do is really try to be there for everybody. I think that's, and I love the name, and I'm excited to see all of you and your daughter and your son and both your daughters and your son. And well, thank you so much for sitting down with us. And I I'll share everything in the show notes and how to buy a paddle and where to buy a paddle. And I hope that when you release your new paddles, we can talk again and you can show them. But it's really exciting where the market's going. So thank you so much, Chris.
Thanks for taking him.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Simply Pickleball. We will be back very soon with great interviews, discussions, and more all about pickleball. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Until next time, happy dinking.